Blog Talk Radio.
Poetic words seasoned just right to flavor your taste buds.
The words are the new Viagra that keeps you up, tantalizing your soul into submission. Sensual and sexy as her poetry acts and answers questions you are scared to approach. Who is she? She is LSO, an erotic poet.
Good evening, everybody. What to say. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the LSO Treat Show. I am LSO, the founder and owner of LSO exclamation point. I am an HBCU undergraduate and a master's summa cum laude graduate, and that is just some of the backbones of my educational hashtag my LSO journey. I am not just an author of the product line of three self-published erotic books. There's still so much more to why I am hashtag I am LSO. I'm also inspirational and empowerment speaking, advising spoken word artists, and now I'm back to being an actress and also a writer. That's all in the making. It's coming real soon. Hashtag love yourself organically. Prize of many talents with the masters of all and with no regrets. I so enjoy each and everything that I do. Let's not forget the host of the Lawless Radio LSO Treat Show. LSO exclamation point has that creative diversity that captures you and makes you want to become one with everything she says and not be afraid to try it and ultimately like it, be it erotical or inspirational. With her, there's no judgment allowed. You are totally at liberty to be in yourself. Oh, excuse me. She introduces you to your freedom and to enjoy in a safe and happy place, igniting your soul to surrender to enjoy the known and the unknown, all of your senses captivated, and you're loving it. In her work, she is in total control. In her space, her imagination encourages your truth, the extent to pleasures beyond your imagination. LSO vows to keep her creative juices flowing so that you can experience the displays of her words written and or spoken. LSO is creating magic with words and speaking positivity into the atmosphere. Such creative liberty. So come along for the ride, pun intended. LSO never disappoints and promises limitless possibilities. Are you ready for tonight's show? Get ready for this evening's topic, the health of a man, ... strengthens the foundation. Which piece do you want, the P-E or the P-I? The P-E is protect everything, or the P-I, meaning prevent incompletion. Note, these are our personal and or research opinions, so get ready to call in and confess your research. Remember, the Lawless Radio LSO Treat Show is a safe space and a no-judgment zone where your confessions and research are welcome. Transparency at its best. So call in with your questions and or answers. Remember, a spanking may be necessary, so no worries. LSO have the paddle and whip ready. The Lawless Radio LSO Treat Show welcomes each and every Monday night D. Smith of Get Dizzy. He's collaborating with the D. Put that together. You got D. Treat. L. Listen, you got to be prepared for any and everything because we're about to bring it to you. I call it the New York Shy Combo. We coming right up. Ladies, D. Smith, he's divorced and he's single. His IG is getthis_D. His Facebook is at getthisD with D. Smith and D. Smith, period, and getthisD and getthisD podcast on all media platforms. His quote is, time, space, and energy is all we got. Spend it wisely. D. Smith, what's good? How you doing this evening?
What's good, Ms. Treats? How you doing? And hello to everybody that's listening, that's tuned in. Hello to our guests, you know what I'm saying? And happy Monday night. Let's go ahead and get cracking.
Okay. Next up, we have Andre A.J. Carter. His status is single. He's an author of the manual featured in the movie Untangled. He's a certified master life coach, ordained minister, and speaker. His quote is, "I turn dreams into gold." Dre, how you doing?
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. What you have to say?
All right. Just happy to be here, and you know, y'all can follow me on follow Andre AJ Carter on Facebook. You know, so you know what it is. Enjoy the show.
Okay. Next up, we have Mr. Bruce Wyatt. Now, his status is single and not looking until I come across a woman who knows how to reciprocate non-sexually. Women, some of y'all be a little bit too aggressive. Men don't like that all the time. His quote is, "Black man, you are worthy. I am black man." Wyatt, how you doing?
What's going on, Chocolate? How you doing? I'm good. Thank you for having me on the show. I'm glad to be here with the Black Kings. Thank you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, every month what we started to do, we have an all-men's channel because, you know, the men need love, too, and we need to get the men in one space at one time and let's, you know, brains, pun intended, just to see, you know, what's going on and hear it from the horse's mouth as opposed to us women, you know, putting the words in their mouth and believing what we feel that they're saying, and meanwhile, we're totally off. So you know what? This particular night, we're talking about health. The health of a man strengthens the foundation. So we're going to dive right in, and I'm going to call y'all in and ask you to answer the question. So the first question we have up, do you get a yearly physical and in a timely manner? D. Smith, what do you have to say?
Yes, I do. I'm very conscious about my health screenings and making sure I'm on top of that. Growing up, you know, like I was staying in the group, older men didn't really go to the doctor like that. You know, grandfathers and, you know, uncles and them, you know, these guys just worked their asses off and tried to provide and, you know, didn't really take care of themselves the way they should have. Eating, working out, things of that nature, they really didn't do that to the best of their ability. You know, so growing up, it was like, yeah, you definitely have to stay on top of your health. So, yeah, I definitely go for my screenings every year.
Okay. Andre, what about you? Do you get a yearly physical and in a timely manner?
Almost definitely. Number one, I'm diabetic, and so I have to go to the doctor. Otherwise, you know, bad things can happen, and I don't want that.
Okay.
So I go on a regular basis.
Okay, very good. We like that. Wyatt, talk to
What's
you.
Up?
Do you get really physical and in a timely manner?
Yes, I do. Matter of fact, I'm going to get my physical after vacation, so like next month is my physical time. I do it yearly. It's very, very important for us as men, younger, older, preferably younger, start at a young age, going to the doctor annually. I try to teach my students that about going to the doctor, whether it be male or female. But going to the doctor yearly is very, very important on the history of our people, how we've eaten, you know, the things that we eat, a lot of processed food that we eat, you know, so checking up on your health, getting your blood work done is very important because early detection basically will help you, you know, overcome whatever that might be.
That right there is so true. And the key thing you said is early detection because a lot of times men wait around. Well, not just men, people wait around.
Right.
And their body is telling them something, but they wait around for so long. And by the time they get it checked out, they're already in like ending stages of something that could have been possibly prevented along the way. But a message came in, said, fuck a physical, just put some Vicks on your chest, you be good. Nah, LOL. Nah, just jokes. Checkups are important every 4 to 5 months. You are absolutely correct. And some checkups are important as soon as every 3 months, depending on if you have some form of illness, so to say, going on. So the doctors may want to see you a little bit more regularly, because if you have to take medicine for something, they may change the medicine according to what your blood work says as it goes on. Wait a minute, we received another text. Okay, where did it go? I don't even know where the text went. Oh, no. Sorry. Wasn't a text. Okay, next. When your body doesn't feel right, do you go and get checked? See, Sam?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But this goes back. I wanted to piggyback off of what Bro just said when he was saying how he teaches his students this. I think teaching them early to, you know, really care about yourself and learn your body and listen to your body is really, really important for kind of breaking down that stigma of going to the doctor, or that fear of going to the doctor. Like, some people just fear going to the doctor because they just fear hearing the worst, you know. And some people's experience with hospitals and the doctors will cause them to not want to, you know, really stay up on anything medical within themselves, you know. So I think that helps a lot to when you're 40 years old and, you know, or 50 years old and something, you know, is off. You know, if you feel something, you're more likely to actually go to the doctor and take care of it because you have a history of going to the doctor. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's very, very important to just being able to identify things that may be wrong with you, you know, whether it's normal or something that's abnormal, you know.
Okay. You know, I think when you mentioned doctor and hospitals and waiting rooms to men, they tend to tense up quicker than women for whatever the reason. Mm-hmm. And usually these are the men who have very good insurance that will cover every single thing. But yet men are scared to go to the doctor and they wait to the last minute. And it's unfortunate, but this is what I find in some of the men that I know. They wait to the last minute. Now some men have been more proactive in you know, doing what it is necessary to get things done. Text message came. Yep, hand was hurting and I tore the tendon. Wait a minute. Yep, hand was hurting and I tore the tendon and in my finger. I'm in a split now. And I went to the ER because my hand was hurting. The old me would have taken an ibuprofen and drank water and coughed it off. Well, I'm glad you actually went to the doctor, because had you not, you would have been walking around with a broke finger. And you know, after about a couple of days of your of any bone being broken, nurse, I see that you're on. And tell me if I'm correct. Hit me up and let me know if I'm correct. I think after 3 days, a bone that is broken in someone older, when I say older, even in your 30s, that's older, after 3 days, it starts, begin to set in place. After 3 days, if you want them to set it properly, they have to then break it. Easier to go when they do it one time, well, when right after it happens, because it's still broken or out of shape or whatever it is, and they can fix it back sooner and put the splint in. So I hope you feel better soon. But I think, wait a minute, I'm interested in knowing how you broke the finger. Were you doing something you wasn't supposed to?
Oh,
that muscle, did that muscle tighten up for you?
Leave that man business alone.
I'm just saying. I got a picture. Oh, damn. Look at the finger. Oh, poor baby.
Oh, you took your picture?
Yes, I got a picture. Is the left, the ring finger. Oh, you trying to make sure you get I do in there? I pray you feel better real soon. Okay. Andre, when your body doesn't feel right, do you go get checked?
Of course. Now I do.
Now, there had was a you time not... I... Okay. Go. I'm sorry.
No, it was a time that I didn't, because I remember when I first got diabetes, you know, I was going to the bathroom all the time, and I didn't know if something was wrong or what, but an ex-girlfriend of mine kept telling me, "Oh, you got diabetes. And I just wanted to shut up at one point and whatnot and just say, "Okay, I'm going to the doctor. Let's go." Lo and behold, they told me if I didn't walk up in there, if I walked up in there 15 minutes later, I'd have been in a coma, dead.
Wow.
They didn't know how I walked up in there. My sugar was so high.
And by any chance, did you feel anything? Did you feel normal, so to say? Were you lightheaded?
I kind of felt normal. I felt normal. I didn't think anything was wrong.
How long have you had diabetes?
30 years now.
30 years? Do you have a family history of diabetes?
20-something, huh?
20-something. Do you have a family history of diabetes? Do you come from a
no.
A strong family history? No? Okay.
No.
Okay. Yeah, I asked that because my family has a very strong, like, history of diabetes. Everybody on my father's side, my grandmother, my granddad, and I think all the kids had diabetes. At least 7 out of 10 had diabetes.
Wow.
Yeah. So I just want to know that.
Hey, you got to be mindful. Some
yeah.
things are hard.
Family history is important.
Other things you acquire with age.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Family history is important. So going to the doctor and keeping those records, or at least keeping some type of knowledge. Like, I can remember growing up how my mom and grandmama and them used to talk about other relatives down south and on the west side or wherever. And when you're talking about people and their health, you know, it's like they knew what was wrong with everybody. You know what I'm saying? So when it came to you having something, they could trace it to, well, your great-granddaddy had this, or your great-uncle had this, and it's like, wow, okay, cool. So this is something that was actually in the family. Like, they really had that kind of a history where they knew those things. You know,
right.
How many people know that now? You know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if your kids get sick with something or something, you know, can you trace it back to you or the child's mother or the child's mother's mother, or, you know, like, skip a generation, you know, so health records are very important.
Mm. Yeah, I've never tried to trace it like that.
Yeah, you should, because hopefully if you have any kids, that can be passed on to them and or it can skip a generation. And usually back
right.
in those times, the family would go out in the backyard and mix up some concoction and come back like, here, drink this or eat this, and out of help with whatever. But now, you know, a little bit more modern, we have doctors. Go to the doctors and get checked out. Wyatt.
What's going on?
When your body doesn't feel right, do you go get checked?
Yes, I know when my body's out of whack or something's not going on, that's correct. So I definitely go get that checked out. I don't really play in regards to health. Especially when I have health coverage, so I'm not using it.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So, like, I got health coverage. I'm using my health coverage to the full maximum. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Check me, like they go to the car. When you take your car to get a tune-up, check out
yep.
everything. I'm not scared. Don't tell me. But you know what? And I have a young black doctor, so I really trust in him in regards
mm-hmm.
to my health. He's already shown me. He's about me. And, you know, we build and we talk. But going back to what the brother said earlier, this lets you know about us as a people eating from generations of bad eating. You know, living on plantations at least, what, 200 years? 250 maybe? Even after Reconstruction? Yeah. So living on a plantation that long, we didn't have good eating living with Master.
Mm-hmm.
We were undernourished.
Right.
You know what I mean? It wasn't like you were getting filet mignon and, you know, soul food came from us, but it was still bad eating. that we're building a foundation of generations of other generations of what? Bad eating. But at the same time, black families or families in general, when you're trying to survive in a struggle, you're not concerned with what you eat as long as you eat.
Yeah.
You got to feed
as everybody eat.
You got to feed children. So, you know, you got to put food on the table. You can't be concerned with how you eat. Think about right now how it's more expensive to eat healthy. I can go get a burger for $2, a dollar. I go to White Castle, get $10. I get 5 cheeseburgers, some fries, a drink. But a salad costs $12, $15,
$20.
It's more expensive to eat healthy, letting you know the mentality of society, teaching you to what? Eat bad. I live in Eastern York, so we got fast food strip over here. McDonald's, Wendy's, Popeye's, White Castle. So it's right in the heart of the community. And unfortunately, we're in a society now where people don't really cook anymore. They want something fast, quick, they can feed their kids and be out. So but in regards to the question, I definitely get myself checked out. I have health coverage. I'm not playing that. I got dental coverage. I'm not playing that. I got vision coverage. I'm not playing that. Check me out. Let me know what's going on. So I'm not going to sit here and basically die or have to be worsened because I was being stubborn about, just going to see the doctor. Do I like going to the hospital? Hell no. I don't like going, but in order to sustain my life, you know, I got to go. So that's stubbornness that black men have to get over. Like, no, nobody wants to be in the hospital. Like, nobody wants that experience. Bad food, you in there lonely. But in regards to going, I'll go all the time. Check me out, please.
Yeah, I'm with that.
Check me out.
I'm with that.
Check me out, man.
Yeah, kick the tires.
I want to piggyback off of that. I want to ask y'all, do y'all prefer a man or a woman doctor, and do you prefer if it's a black doctor or someone other than? But before I ask y'all that question, a message came in, was like, I hear that, brother. Then the message also said, my enlisted days, if you went to sick, if you went to sick call, you were looked at as weak and told pain is weakness leaving the body. But now that I know better, I do better. And then you also put, I pay $16 for a salad at Salad Works. Well, damn, I hope that was the best salad ever. But $16 for a salad, which is so true.
But the
it's worth it because of the health
benefits. She can afford a $16 salad. Most of us are like, $16 for a salad? No, I'm good. Where the burgers at? Where the chicken? Where the
Chinese? Exactly. Exactly. I mean, and if you're doing that every night or a couple times a week, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's gonna add up.
Don't say if you have family.
$16 can feed a family. It can make spaghetti.
Yeah, exactly.
It can make a whole pot of spaghetti.
And not to mention when you do load up on vegetables, when you do go to the store and you call yourself, okay, cool, I'm going to load up on everything. I'm going to fill the refrigerator up. You only got so much time to use all of that stuff. So you really do have to eat it up before it goes bad. You know, otherwise you end up wasting money. So, eating healthy is something. It's definitely expensive.
But what I find for salad is what you can do, if you find that your salad is soon to expire, make a protein shake and put your salad in the protein shake and freeze it. Because that's what I do, even down to my bananas. If I see my banana getting ready to get too ripe, I'll put it in the freezer. It'll last longer. And I'll just make a protein shake and cut a piece of it and put it in a protein shake. So what I do is I make these shakes and I store them in a freezer. So when I'm ready to have a shake, all I have to do is just reblend it and add a little bit of water, reblend it, and it's already made for me. I don't have to do anything. So
that's a good idea.
So that, one, you're not wasting any food. So, but I did want to ask each of you, y'all can answer in any order that you would like. What do you prefer, a male or female doctor, and do you prefer them to be black, or does it matter who, what their nationality or their race is? Anyone can answer.
Well, for me, when I'm sick and about to die, I won't worry about your nationality. I just worry about the person that can help me and get me well. That's all I want. As far as male and female, it all depends on what they're doing. You know, if they're giving me if they give me one of them hold your balls and cough type tests, I might just be a man, truthfully, because a woman I might get too excited on, especially if she speaks.
What'd you say? Do you have a preference?
No, I just want my doctor to hopefully be in tune with what I want for myself. I don't want to be on medication. I want to be the healthiest individual possible. So if we're working towards that, fine. But the issue is some doctors want to keep you on medication and keep you coming
back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I don't want a doctor like that. I don't want to see you on a regular. Like, what's your, like, come on. No, I want to get off it. But anything that I'm on right now, I want to get off it and get to a point where I'm healthy physically. Like, yo, if you're not on the same page with me, I'm not here to keep paying you. Like, we're not doing that. So it depends on what your doctor's intentions are. My doctor that I'm in tune with, I was referred to him through my supervisor. She's a female, black female. She referred me to this new doctor, and I love him. He's young, he's black, we in tune. I read books, he knows about what I'm reading. Like, we in tune. And I know he's trying to get me off or get me healthy to the point where I'm like, I'm good. So me and him are in tune, but it's all based on your doctor's intentions. Like, I don't care what sex you are. What is your intentions for me? Are you trying to help me be healthy, or are you trying to keep me with the money rolling in? Because some of them, a lot of that, the system is about what? Keeping you sick to keep you coming back for medication, to keep you paying.
Right. Money's in the medication.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So this is the approach with medicine is, it's not about prevention. It's about keeping you on the existing medication. Keep you paying money. This country's not about health prevention. Because if it was, we'd be doing things differently, you know? So, but what's your doctor's intention? Is he trying to make money off you and keep making money off you? Or is he trying to actually get you healthy to the point where me and you good, I'm healthy?
Right, well, you don't need him.
Well, I don't need you except once a year to get my annual physical and we good.
Exactly. Exactly. If I got to see you more than once a year,
right,
you own something.
What's your
doctor's intention? You're
supposed to be trying to... They don't, regardless of what the sex is, are they trying to get you healthy or keep you in the existing state where has you taking medication constantly? Because let's be real, medication is side effects. I don't be taking no medication. It's side effects of all medications. They tell you that. It's not like they don't say it on the description. They tell you it's side effects of this. Now, in regards to your body, what's going to happen, I don't know. But you want to try to get off that. Into a holistic approach where you just not even deal with medication, straight up just good health. So that's the goal.
Yeah.
Not about that. I'm like, nah, you ain't making me no money bags. Chill, we ain't doing that. So it really got to check out. Like, you got to make sure what are your intentions. If you have to ask them that directly when you first get your first visit, ask that question. Because you
that's
be in tune with me. I'm trying to stay on this medicine, man. We're not doing that.
Yeah,
the thing is, it's they make more money selling the medicine, and there is no.
Yeah, they make a lot of money off that medication, and
there's no insurance for food. And what you need to do is eat healthier. That's the problem. And we can't afford to eat healthy. That's the problem.
How many of them offer? How many offer a dietitian or nutritionist?
Well, that's another
issue.
Unless
you ask for it, you have to ask for it because they're not going to offer that to you because they know that's the way that things can change if you change how you eat and your eating habits. They don't suggest go see a nutritionist or here's one that we have to refer you to. Go see a dietitian. Mm-hmm. Here's one I can refer you to. They can get you into a plan where you just on a certain diet and it's getting you what healthier or towards your goal. You know, I mean, what's your doctor's intentions? You got to find that out by asking that question.
That's a good point. Because even in taking any medicine, it helps in whatever it's supposed to do, but it also damages something else. For instance, okay. Ibuprofen is good for pain, but yet ibuprofen, I believe, messes with your liver.
Exactly. Too much of it.
It helps with headache, but Tylenol helping with your headache is also messing with your kidneys. So
exactly.
You have to take things in moderation, even when it's for one thing. So imagine when you're on long-term medicines, what body parts is it affecting or what other organs is it affecting? And how can you counter that so that whatever body part it's other body part or organ it's affecting, you can keep that healthy so it's not destroyed by helping somewhere else. So just be mindful in taking those things. And I learned those things from the medical people in my family and also friends. So just be mindful. Yes, granted, you have to take certain medications to sustain you because you have a sickness, but also be mindful. Think of ways how you can possibly get off the medication. And a good way to do it is find you a buddy that can work with you so that's somebody to help keep you accountable, and you're also keeping that person accountable as well, and y'all can do it together. Nowadays, we have many variations of how to interact with people. We have Zoom, we have Duo, we have WhatsApp. You know, go on one of those platforms. Go on one of those platforms and do that and work out together. So, do you watch your diet? We sort of kind of touched on it earlier, but let's get a concrete answer of asking, do you watch your diet and how do you watch your diet? Anyone can answer.
Go ahead.
All right. Well, one of the things I do is I drink a lot of water. I mean, a lot of water. I keep everything cleaned out. I'll drink a juice blend in the mornings and at night before I go to bed. And just try to eat my vegetables. You know, I exercise a lot. This way, whatever the doctor gives me, hopefully I can eventually get off of that type of stuff, you know? Mm. So that's my goal, to be off of medication altogether.
Yeah. You know, that was big. The first thing you said was drink a lot of water. And you know how many people don't really drink? I mean, men don't really drink a lot of, like, water? You know, like,
yeah.
It sounds simple. You know, it sounds real simple, real easy to access, you know, drink water. But we don't drink enough of it. Like, we'll have maybe a cup or two, maybe a day, some of us, and the rest is something else, juice, alcohol, pop, or, you know, something else that's not water. So I think that's really a great tip, you know, that's simple stuff. And that's the kind of the approach that I'm kind of taking with my diet. Not to make huge, super-duper changes, and over time they've kind of, guided me to where I'm at. So I try to eat more vegetables. You know, if I decide to go eat some fast food, I would try to find the healthiest option. You know, if I get a salad or a Subway sandwich or something, I'll take that. Now, every now and then, I'll be a fat ass and grab me some fried gizzards and some chicken or something like that. But, you know, that's kind of here and there. Also, I used to drink a lot of ginger ale. I'm one of them folks that, you know, was heavy on Canada Dry. That was my shit. You know, I would kill some Canada Dry. And, you know, it was to the point where I'd kill a liter in maybe a couple of days, you know. And I was drinking it so much, I didn't realize how much it had spiked my sugar. So, of course, going to the doctor, doing my annual, they let me know that my blood sugar was pretty high. So I had to you know, start monitoring my eating habits. So I started using tea, started drinking more tea. Chinese people drink tea. They seem to always be in great health or, you know, seem to live into older age. Tea is a big staple of their diet. They don't put a whole lot of sugar and stuff in it. They don't put no sugar in it. So it's like that may be a healthier way for me to, you know, try to incorporate something else in my diet. And so what I do is I'll throw ginger, I'll slice up ginger, put it in my tea. I'll cut up garlic sometimes and put it in my tea. I'll put cinnamon in my tea. And if I want to sweeten it up, I may use some juice, you know, instead of putting sugar in my tea or something else, or honey or agave, you know, something alternative to straight sugar. So I think little things that help me get to a better place, you know, diet-wise.
Okay, well, that's good. I was going to say raw honey, but you did say honey, because raw honey will sweeten up every single thing.
Yeah. Yeah,
why,
it will.
Do you have anything to say?
I'm drinking the water. I try to drink a lot of water. At least half gallon or more daily, because the water thing is just like the fountain of youth. We don't drink enough water. I drink too many sweet teas, so I'm cutting that off permanently because that is like the devil. I'm a foodie, so going to like black-owned establishments or going out to eat, you know, I'm just like, oh my God, I want to live, but I might have to go to Melbourne. If I go to Melbourne, my best plan is make sure whatever I eat is low in fat. So if I'm going to get something low in fat, it's salmon, ground turkey, you know, chicken with skin, because a low-fat diet is just best for how my body is now, you know. But a downfall is junk food. Like, that's my downfall. If I go to Grand Love Cafe, I got to get chocolate chip pecan cookies. If I go to I got to get brown candy. So, like, I'm not going to Grand Lux. I'll sit here and get a peanut butter and jelly sandwich because I know the devil is here and I ain't messing with it. I know me.
I like
certain things. Huh?
Eat it in moderation so that you don't deprive yourself.
I
think I found if you deprive yourself, when you have it, you're going to overdo it.
Moderation at Green Lux.
Butter pecan, Haagen-Dazs, ice cream. You know, like, little.
Yeah, come on now.
Every week.
Come on.
But
yeah.
I fall victim. If I go downtown to Montague, that Haagen-Dazs shop over there.
Don't do it.
The Brooklyn Promenade and just chill. You know, I'm
don't
not doing
do
that weekly, but I'm just saying, like, that's my downfall. So I try to stay away from those things because I know it's not good for me. I know that. I know better. I know it's not good.
At least you're being honest with yourself.
Right.
At least you're being honest with yourself.
That's my
you know?
Devil. Like, I can't do it. I can't. Like, I know King's fans will be calling me as soon as I get through the door, that aroma. I won't buy nothing in the mall, but I will get a bag of cookies. Like, come on, son. Don't even come in here. This is the devil, man. And you know that.
But the water, what
Ray said earlier, the water thing is really, that's what it's about. We have to drink water as much as possible. I suggest to people, because as a teacher, most of the staff in my building, we drink at least a half gallon, a gallon of water daily, just getting the water from the cooler and drink that throughout the day because you need that. We got to say we drink. We have to do it. I know it's the devil. I get it. I love sweet tea, but I know that when I go get my annual, I know what he's going to tell me.
Uh-huh.
I know already. I know. I know it's my devil. So
it don't take big changes. It don't always take big changes. Sometimes something like water, you know, that's a small incorporation into, you know, your daily routine. You just get a little bit more water and a little bit more You know, work yourself up to that half gallon or more.
Right.
You know,
you got to drink in the morning, drink when you go to bed at night. You got to drink water consistently throughout the day. You just can't drink something like in the morning and don't drink water for the rest of the day. Women, men, we have to drink more water. I don't care how you do how you have to figure it out, just do it because it's better for your system.
Yeah, I think 100 ounces a day.
You have water right now with you. How many of you have water right now?
I can't drink enough water. I see my students. They drink 50-cent sodas and all these other juices. They don't drink water. I don't see them with bottles of water. And that's conditioning you.
I'm challenging each of you this week, just this week, and then you go from here how you want. Every hour, drink a bottle of water. I don't care if it's an 8-ounce bottle of water or if it's a 16-ounce bottle of water. If within an 8-hour period you drink one bottle of water per hour, you drank your water intake for the day, or at least close, you drank over 64 ounces for the day. So if you do just that, that's a small step. And also, your body requires a meat, a protein, and a fat. So if you have that and have the food according to the palm of your hand, then every 3 hours have a meat, a protein, and a fat with food the size of your hand. You will see some changes happening to your body in just a short period of time and adding water. And if you want, you can get the 8-ounce bottle of water. And before you realize it, you're going to be up to drinking water, and you're going to realize you're going to drink more water than possible. And a message came in. It says water helps to make your secretions taste better. Y'all know what's being meant by that. So if y'all want women to take it down, be sure to make sure that you're right, so it's taste worthy. Moving right along, do you share your health information in a relationship and or with family? Anyone can answer?
Yeah, I do. I think it's important for other people to know. Because if nobody knows what's going on, then nobody can, you know, keep a check on you. They don't know something's wrong. So they think everything's all right. Meanwhile, you're about to drop dead. So you got to sit there and make sure your family knows, or those that are close to you know that, like for me, I'm diabetic, you know, I let people know. I got people on my job that sit up there and say, oh, Dre, you're sweating. Your sugar okay? You know, they do that all the time.
Okay.
You know, but that's because they know.
That's one of the two things with diabetics. They'll start sweating, or the side of their mouth will begin to get white. And also, diabetics have a distinct smell when their sugar is high. And I know because I have family members who are diabetics, and I can tell it's a very distinctive smell. I don't know how to explain it, but been around it, you will understand it. So that's very key that people you are around a lot knows these things, so that if anything is going on, you're unable to explain, they're familiar, they can make sure you get the proper help that you need. What about you?
Go ahead, Graham.
Yeah, I definitely would. If I'm in a relationship, it depends on how severe the health issue is. Like, for example, if I have a heart condition, or if I have some type of, you know, some other type of condition that might require immediate health care or immediate emergency services, then I would definitely let them know, like, hey, anytime I may, you know, have a seizure, or, you know, this may happen or that may happen. So if that happens, you know, don't panic. This is what needs to be done, blah, 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 blah. I think that's very important, because just like Andre said, you know, if you're going to consider the people that you're around, if something happens to you, it might be nice for them to kind of know that you're going through some things, that you have a certain condition, especially if you're in a relationship with this person. Now, if it's somebody, you know, that you just met, course, you probably wouldn't disclose that, but, you know, or you may disclose that. Depends on how you feel about the situation. But I definitely believe that if you're going to be in a relationship with somebody, they should know what kind of condition you are in physically. And just like you should know what kind of condition they're in physically, especially if there's a chance that you may have to take them to the emergency room, or you may have to take them to the hospital, or may have to be there to support them should anything go wrong. So,
okay. Wyatt, what you say?
My daughters, yes, I tell them about my health 100%. I don't hide anything from them, so they can be aware of what's going on. In the relationship, it depends on how far along and how deep it is. At some point, if I see, you know, because it's exposing a vulnerability. Excuse me. Sometimes that can be weaponized, you know.
Yeah.
So I have to be comfortable with the person who I'm exposing myself to in terms of that vulnerability. Mm. And I think that goes for a lot of men. Like, being vulnerable, part of our mental health, is very difficult for a lot of us, you know.
Mm.
So when you are in that situation where you're being vulnerable, you hope that the person that you are dealing with can, you know, you can trust them when you let them know what's going on with you on that level.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody I'm just dating immediately, or no, I'm not doing that. Because, like I said, I've had that weaponized against me, and I'm like, I'm not going in that direction again. But if it got to a certain point, yeah, I would speak to them about it, you know. But my daughters, my grandson, absolutely 100%, you know what's going on. Any relationship?
That's a great point.
I mean, I don't know about relationships. Like, you know, women, I love y'all, but some of y'all take that with
careful.
Like, nah.
Hey, that's huge. That's huge right there. And I kind of want to touch on that, dude, because another reason why a lot of guys may have issues with, you know, being on top of their health is because there is a certain stigma that comes with being unhealthy, or comes with feeling weak, you know, or feeling like you're vulnerable, not only to just people's judgment, but, like, just physically. You know what I'm saying? If you're used to being fit and strong and, you know, handling your business on your own on a day-to-day basis, and all of a sudden you got to sit your ass down somewhere because you got a condition, you know, that can do something to your esteem, you know. And I think most men would feel, you know, a certain way about that. You know, if you're not able to get up and make money like you normally do because now, you know, you're sick. You know, if you have other people that, you know, you now have to depend on, you're giving up your dependency to rely on other people to help you in time when you normally would do these things for yourself. That could have a real strong effect on a man's mental health, not just his physical health, but his mental health, you know. And where a guy's mind is, where a person's mind goes, that's normally where the body goes. So if they're in their head about their health, it kind of, you know, recycles itself through their health. So that, you know what I'm saying? So the mind is kind of feeding the health in a way, if that makes any sense.
It does. It does. We have messages that came in. It says pineapple juice, cranberry juice.
That's the person's name?
Another message, it says. No. This is from previously in the conversation.
Is it a group?
Oh,
is it a duo?
No, this is a message that was sent from we just got the opportunity to read it. And it said, no, my life insurance, too much. And then it said they are also very thirsty. I think they're talking about with diabetes. It says if you have ED issues, let your partner know that in advance and or share your concerns. And, you know, one thing that a lot of people fail to mention, if they have allergies, because nowadays you go out to these restaurants, you don't know how they're preparing your food. It's good to know if you have an allergy to something.
Yeah.
And also if you have an EpiPen on you. And not only that you have the EpiPen, that the person knows how to use the EpiPen, because you're going to have the EpiPen and they stick you in the wrong place. You need to be stuck in a fatty part, thigh or your butt or something like that. You don't want them trying to go into a vein with an EpiPen.
Can I ask you a question about that, though? Can I ask you a question about that? Now, the person you expose that to and say that you need an EpiPen, I totally get it. Is that your fiance, your wife, that you're exposing that to? Like, should my fiance know that? Because if somebody I'm dating for the first time, I don't know if I want them to know that for the first time going out. I don't know if I'm there in that space to trust them with that information at the first time. You know, maybe a few times after that, I get more comfortable. But that's why I'm asking the question. Is that a point where this girl is my fiance, or we're heading towards that place?
Well,
and,
I think,
you know,
for allergy purposes, on the first date, yes. Only reason because what if she picked the restaurant that you're going to and you didn't get a chance to look at the menu and you didn't see the menu until you got there and you have a peanut allergy? Now, I know people who have peanut allergies and the allergy is so strong that they can't even smell it. They smell it, they automatically getting sick. And then I know other people who have peanut allergies where they can't touch it or they can't
taste
it. Yeah,
people can die from that.
Yeah,
that's very serious. A couple of seconds to shut down your airways. So, an allergy,
I
think that's simple enough. All you have to do is say, yes, I have an allergy. I have an allergy to nuts, or I have an allergy to pollen, or I have an allergy to something, and especially if you're going out to eat. That's all. You don't have to mention about an EpiPen or anything unless you feel comfortable enough to let them know about the EpiPen. But other than that, you know, you could just say, oh, I have an allergy to X, Y, and Z, and be sure that, you know, you tell the waiter or waitress, you know, that you have an allergy. So, moving along.
I got a question. I'm sorry, I had a question.
Yes.
So, Dre, since we're talking about, like, mental health, things of that nature, I want to ask the fellas, how is your mental health right now? That's the first question. And any other men who are listening to the show or who have access to the chat or LSO's phone, hit us up. Let us know how you are doing mentally. You know what I'm saying? So that's the first question. Second question for Dre. Given your history of diabetes, has that had an effect on your mental health? Like, have you had any other health issues in conjunction or in combination with having diabetes that may have kind of played on your mental health? And if you don't want to answer, you don't have to, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a long answer.
I'm open book. Let me just start out with this. My mental health right now is pretty good, okay?
Okay.
But there was a time when it wasn't, okay? Now, I'm a recovering sex addict, all right? I've been in therapy. That's what I go to therapy for. I've been in therapy, like, forever, 25 years, something like that.
Okay.
So, and it's worked, okay? But let me say this. As far as the upper question is diabetes and mental health, my mental health, for me, trying to find comfort in food and things like that might have triggered the diabetes. Because, you see, one thing affects another. And we don't always, you know, associate the two, but that's what happens. You're doing a bunch of other bad things that affect something else. It's like how we were talking earlier about the medications. You're taking medication to fix one thing and affect something totally different. You know, food does that to you as well.
What happened?
Yeah,
no,
my...
Ask the question again. Hello?
Hello? Want another question again?
No. I heard somebody saying something.
No,
a message came in. It says, fucked up. That's why I go to therapy, seeing too many tragic things. And then, but it's better than yesterday and the day before that I take it day by day. Well, I'm glad you do take it day by day, and especially for those who's been in the military, your mentors is very, very important. I don't know about you, but I believe in God, and I say to keep each and every one of you prayed up, because we don't know what you saw when you was over there. And so, after the military finished with you, they give you back to your families, and now your families have to deal with you in a state that we don't know how they gave you back to us.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's a part of y'all being vulnerable and us coming to help you and assist you through whatever it is you need. And note that for your mental health, there's therapy. There's therapy for every little thing out there. You just have to find a therapist that's for you and whatever it is that's going on in your life. And don't be afraid to go to therapy. A lot of black people.
I need to piggyback off that.
Devil. Or when you go to therapy, you're crazy. Well, hell, maybe I am crazy, and I need to be not crazy.
You need somebody to talk to.
So,
right.
If
you'd rather me be,
help,
you'd rather me sit here and be crazy or get help.
Exactly.
You know?
That's the fact.
Exactly. So don't be afraid. And, Dre, I commend you on going to therapy. And listener that text in, I commend you as well for therapy. And he was like, nah, therapy helps. It actually does. It really does.
Can I piggyback
so
off that? Can I piggyback off that?
Sure you can.
If I heard you correct, the guy who commented or the person who commented was in the military?
Yes.
Okay. So we can only imagine, especially if they're seeing action, you know, what kind of things they've seen or have felt or emotions or, you know, saying memories, all those things. So a lot of them come back with, you know, PTSD. And not to diminish, you know, military service in any way, but just to kind of draw a parallel, there's a lot of mental health in our hoods. You know, there's a lot of mental health in our hoods, and on multiple levels. Multiple levels. Like, it ain't even funny. Like, a lot of the guys that, you know, have been out in the streets, you know, it looks glamorous in movies and, you know, in music, but there are people living real lives out here. There are people out here really doing time. There are people really coming back home. There are people really getting murdered. There are people really mourning loved ones, cousins, brothers, you know what I'm saying? There are really people who've been through, you know, a lot, you know, lost little kids, you know, in the streets. So a lot, and then on top of that, the news kind of reverberating it on a cycle. Then through social media and all our other outlets. So the trauma becomes compressed. And so, like, I can remember at the time, I used to wake up listening to the news, just to wake up in the morning, start my routine. But I started feeling depressed because every day the news would start off with, these people died, these people got killed, these people got shot. And it wasn't in my neighborhood, but the fact that it was in my city and I'm waking up to this day after day was very traumatizing in a certain way. And I'm like, you know what, I have to stop watching the news because I'm starting to feel a certain way. So I say that to say that the same way there are soldiers or people who've done military action or have military experience might feel PTSD coming home, likewise, people who are living in the city or living in areas where they're kind of going through a similar situation of PTSD just in a different way. So mental health, while we don't necessarily look at it as, you know, something that needs to be talked about, I see it as a very, very broad subject. I don't just look at it as people who have, you know, psychological issues like, you know, mental retardation or, you know, something like that. I'm talking about people who've been through and seen a whole lot of shit that just they probably shouldn't have seen, or they were just forced to see, or they were just living in the environment and saw, or maybe even did. And the effects of that, you know, being ripped away from family members who have to go to jail or getting killed, you know, having to get up every day and go back and forth to work, you know, things of that nature, raising children in these kind of environments. So I just wanted to throw that out there in terms of thinking about mental health in a broader sense.
I just received a message. It says, the hood be on the same type of time as the desert. Mofos killing and shooting. And now in capital letters, mm-hmm. I saw my first person shot at 7 years old on my block. Mm-hmm. And the trauma just mm-hmm. keeps elevating. Now the part mm-hmm. about the trauma just keeps elevating is because this person was in the military. One, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you that's been in the military. And we pray that God keep each and every one of you covered in his blood. Because we don't know what y'all saw. We don't know what y'all saw. We don't know what they deprogrammed y'all to believe what you saw. But thank God y'all are back into society. You are back in with your families. And just know that if you need a listening ear here at the Lawless Radio LSO Treat Show, we got you. We don't know everything, but we know how to get you to where you need to be. We know people who know people, and we can help you get the help that you need if you should need it. So please reach out to D. Smith, LSO, one of us. We got you because we love each and every one of you. Wyatt, would you like anything to say in reference to mental health? You good? Your mental health is good? You need some hugs?
Well, a few points. The first thing is I'm thinking about all the individuals who are just coming home from being incarcerated for 20, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The drug and with the crack epidemic, it impacted us a lot in terms of broken homes, sending people to prison for life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As they call football numbers of sentences. So let's think about it for a second. You went in when there was tokens. You're coming out to Metro cards. Think about the adjustment.
I
remember watching Shawshank Redemption, and in a scene in the movie, the old man was incarcerated for so long that when he came back out to society, he couldn't deal with how fast society had become.
Mm-hmm.
And he hung himself.
Mm.
He hung himself. So I think about that part of mental health where we got a lot of black men just getting home from jail who lost their families while incarcerated.
Mm.
While they was in jail, they possibly whoever taking care of is gone. So now they come into society that, let's be realistic, if you were in when it was tokens, you coming up the metro cards, you were in with lucky phones. The phones being tapped. Now we have cell phones and doing video chat. You like, what is going on? Like, yo, this is crazy. This is really
crazy. I mean, behavior ain't the same.
Think about that adjustment in regards to mental health. My mental health, I'm healing. I lost my mother on June 27th. I buried her July 3rd. So I'm still healing from that. It's a struggle.
Condolences, brother. Condolences, man.
Thank you. It's a struggle. Yeah, thank you. It's a struggle because of your foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So I have seeked out help in terms of talking to somebody because I know I need that personally for watching my mother deteriorate as she died in hospice care at home. I had to watch that without being able to help the person.
Yeah.
So I've messed up in the head.
Yeah.
It's a day-to-day process.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to somebody, and I have a friend who sent me a link for free therapy. Taraji P. Henson, I think the person is Boris L. Henson. I'm not sure, but they give free therapy to people. So I checked the site out. read some bios. I'm going to probably check on somebody that maybe I can connect with. I'm being vulnerable again to people. So that in itself is a first step because normally, you know, I would keep it to myself and not say nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that I need help. So I'm going
Yep. And see, that's why I asked. That's why I asked. I wanted to ask because, and I want to spend a little time on mental health because I don't want to glaze over this because I see it in so many different facets. Here it is. We have somebody, you know, I appreciate you even sharing that. And my condolences, my deepest condolences to you, bro, you and your family on the loss of your mom, man. I really do. My heart goes out to you, man. And thank you for sharing that. Because I know that ain't easy to share on a radio show with strangers. So let me first applaud you for that and take some time to acknowledge you for that. Two, grief, to me, especially with men, with black men, is something that may be affecting a lot of our mental health more than we let on. Or more than we acknowledge, you know, how many people know how to grieve, how many people have had a chance to grieve, you know, how many people have lost a brother or a sibling or a parent earlier in life or a friend, you know, and they still haven't really figured out how to really cope with that. You know, you lose your favorite cousin or you lose your favorite friend, that can be traumatic to you, so most people, you know. So grief is something we should also pay attention to. You know, when we think about mental health, you know, not just PTSD, but also people who grieve and don't quite understand or know how to grieve. You know, not everybody has somebody close to them that they can actually be vulnerable with, especially men, especially black men, that you can go somebody, you can go to somebody. How many men got somebody they can go cry to right now? How many men got somebody right now that they can go say, you know, bro, I need somebody. I just need to cry. Will you be there? You know?
But
how many men actually have that?
But there is no proper way to grieve. It's no right way or wrong way. It's just that you need to go through process. And whatever.
But most people don't know how to go through that process. And
yeah.
So when they don't know how to go through that process and you're holding on to that pain, but yet you still got to get up in the morning to perform. You still got to get up in the morning and take care of family. You still got to get up in the morning and go to work. You still got to get up in the morning and help the team or run the business or study for the exam or whatever it is you got to do. You end up putting yourself further and further on the back burner. And you start using other things to kind of just keep you busy when really you need to stop. Take the time out to feel whatever it is you feel, however it is you got to feel it, or talk to somebody and really deal with it. Most men have a pick up, keep it going type of attitude.
Yeah.
So we don't look at grief as something that we need to deal with. We look at grief as just something that happened, and maybe if we keep busy, we ain't got to deal with it. You know what I'm saying? So we really should, like, really do take that time and really think about that grief and feel that grief. And you cry it out if you need to. And it may not happen over, you know, in one sitting. It may be something you have to go through a series of, you know, some time to really purge that out. And you may never purge it out. But it's the fact that you have that outlet to get it out instead of holding it in. Just like with anger. You know, a lot of men are running around here angry. That could be playing on their mental health.
We had some messages that came in. It says to piggyback off of, it was Wyatt who said that jail fucks up people's mental health, and it sure does. Then he said, seeing families tell their kids that men was in school instead of letting them know that they were incarcerated, and now the kids are looking at jails as school. That is so true. The box solidarity confinement is inhumane. And there should be other ways to instill corrective action besides in jail, within a jail. So true. And it's also very heavy in youth as well, talking about mental health issues. and they need to recognize it. Some people don't know how to recognize it. Some people don't know how to recognize it. So if you should see it in someone, please try to help them, because you never know what's going on in someone's mind. So, and if you're close enough to them, try to stir them in a way where they can get help if you're unable to do so yourself. So now,
we're getting
some feedback. I don't know where it's coming from.
Chocolate.
I'm getting some. Yes, baby.
Can I say something else about mental health?
Yes. Yes, you may.
The last thing I want to say about mental health is that let's think about also the mental health of women in regards to, and we don't talk about this in our community, but it's an issue, the incestual relationships that women had to endure and not being able to have that outlet to talk or tell somebody, and when they did tell somebody, they were often ignored. It's been a problem in our community for a long time that we don't talk about. And I think that's also a big part of mental health. How many of our sisters have been involved in these relationships where they've been touched upon and never said nothing for their whole entire lives? So just grew up with that. It's a lot out there, John.
And men as well. Before men who have been touched inappropriately, like they look at they're looked at as being weak because you know, you the man, a woman touching on you is supposed to feel good. It's wrong whether it's a male or a female. It's wrong if you have uninvited touching of anything to you, or someone touched you, broke you, or anything, and made you feel some kind of way. You know, try to seek the help or let someone know it's okay to feel violated. Meaning, when I say it's okay to feel violated, meaning if someone violates you, you have every right to feel the way that you felt, and you have every right to get the help that you need to get to overcome or either to be able to deal with what happened to you, and know that you are not the victim. I mean, you know that you are the victim in this particular case, but in being the victim, you can overcome a victim and be victorious even in a situation that went the wrong way. Message came in, says, absolutely, and going through menopause is also a mental health issue. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It really is. It's so many mental health issues that goes on in someone's life daily, and you need an outlet.
Yeah.
You need an outlet.
And have
so
find you have
someone. For instance, Mr. Wyatt, he had put something on Facebook, and I didn't quite understand it, so I immediately picked up the phone and called him. I'm like, yo, what's going on? And he made mention to me about his mom. So I'm like, what do you need? I'll get to you. Whatever you need, round up everybody. Whatever you need, we got you. He was like, I'm in Virginia. I said, I don't care if I can get to you. I have people in Virginia. They can get to you and make sure you good. And he was like, nah, I'm good. And I was like, okay. And periodically I would check on him, you know, to make sure he's good, because he was very close to his mom. And to hear someone go through that, I know what it's like.
Yeah.
I have to say, you know, if it wasn't for my family, my daughters, my VSU family, people calling out and reaching out, people I grew up with, you know, you called full court, people reached out because they went through the same situation. So if not of that support, also along with my students supporting me, because they knew what I was going through, going back and forth to Virginia, they knew why I was going. I wasn't hiding nothing from them, like making up. No, I tell them what's going on. This is real life. Adults go through life situations that we don't want to deal with, but we got to deal with. So, for everybody, that, you know, that's what helped me through, because I wouldn't be able to get through without the support, because this is very hard to deal with. But the support daily gets me through. Prayers coming in from everybody, in terms of Rhonda, Kareem, every morning, send me prayer. You know, so all the support, it helps a lot. You know,
that's
so,
what's up, man.
Orange and Blue is there for you.
And not many people have a support system like that. So you're
right,
blessed,
right.
Dude. You're blessed,
I'm very blessed. I'm very, very blessed.
Yeah.
You know, I know that from this experience. I know that I'm blessed to have so many friends and family that I know I'm loved. I didn't really know it before, but I know it now.
That's what's up.
That's fine.
That's
what's
up.
And it says,
can I say something to that?
Yes, you can.
Oh, okay. Because, you know, saying that he knows he's loved, I mean, that's so deep and whatnot because that's what's had me on being a sex addict and whatnot because I didn't feel loved. So I'm sitting here going from girl to girl to girl to girl to girl looking for love. And so love is very, very important and whatnot because me, I grew up, my mom was raped by my brother, and that's how I came about.
Right.
So she sit up there and rub it in my face half the time when she get mad about something. And that's how you get, you know, that type of stuff. You know, and so I felt hurt by that. And I was hurt all my life.
Right.
So I was always looking for love. So that little piece of love caused a lot of mental health problems.
Yeah.
You know, from sex addict, then I became an alcoholic.
Right.
It had a big effect.
It's sad that hurt people.
I don't even know if I'd have these problems if she didn't say some nonsense like that.
It's sad that hurt people also hurt people. It's sad that that happened.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reality. Hurt people. Your mother was hurt, so she didn't know how to deal with it except taking it out on you, who had nothing to hurt. Like, she had nothing to hurt, but at the time and going through life, you don't see it like that. You just see this is a product of me being hurt.
How many men grow up like that? And I'm not, I'm not saying everybody does.
Right.
But just to talk about, you know, where mental health issues may stem from. You know, here we're talking about another situation where, you know, as a kid, you're growing up under this kind of, you know, this kind of action. Yes, it's really abuse.
It's abuse. You know, verbal abuse, emotional abuse.
Yeah, it's emotional. It's mental abuse.
Yeah.
It's reshaping and rewiring, you know, thinking, you know what I'm saying, synaptics.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So as you grow, sometimes the behavior that we see adults displaying, and we look at it like, what's that about? What's that about? Sometimes if you really just do some digging, you like, man, oh, there it is.
Yeah.
You know, but how many people actually get to talk about that? How many men actually, like Dre, how long did it take you to actually come to the point where you were able to say, okay, this is actually what it is, and not only that, but this is where it stems from, you know. Not many people can connect it back.
It must have took me a good. I must have been close to 50.
Uh huh. Talk to me. Talk to us, baby. Come on, talk to us. We here.
What'd you say, Brad?
Like I said, I must have been close to 50 by the time I realized what was going on.
Wow.
Look at the abuse from stems from childhood. Because when you watch the Antoine Fisher movie, it lets you know that. He was in a home, regardless of your guardian, if it's your mother, your father, the verbal and emotional abuse that he went through affected his relationships with women until he met a counselor in Denzel who helped him through that process. And the same thing, he helped Denzel through a process. So, you know, your family background or your foundation, whoever the audience is, if that's emotional and verbal abuse, it's going to impact you.
Yeah. Now think about this. Think about this. that same child goes off to the military, or that same child grows up in the hood and stays in the hood and gang bangs or sells drugs or do whatever they do,
mm-hmm.
and both experience trauma on their own different in their own different environments, but both have to come back to the same place.
Right.
So the spread of the trauma, not just from, you know, what you experience in your environment, but also what you're raised with, you
right.
know, what you're exposed to, you know, things you don't understand, things that may have happened to you. I mean, all those things shape how a person sees the world and rationalizes and copes, you know. So alcohol tends to be the most, you know, the easiest vice for most
go-to.
People. You know,
the go-to.
But what about everything else, like sex addiction or other things,
right.
you know what I'm saying,
right.
that people may use to cope? So,
right.
you know,
now,
yeah, this mental health conversation, dude, is
really, really
it's a
needed.
It's a broad conversation. It is.
Because
it's a lot going on.
To touch okay, there were some messages that came in, and also a caller would like to come on. One message came in. What if you didn't know you were violated, but went with it because you was young? And what do you do to get over that normalization of what happened? Very interesting.
Right.
Because another message came in that said, my friend, he lost his virginity at 13 to a grown woman, and now he admits that was wrong, but he thought it was cool when he was young. And please don't. And people don't know unless you share. You are so true. And that's interesting because a lot of guys, when they're younger, they get the nonny from an older woman. It's like, oh, the woman showed me this, she showed me that. But if you were a minor, you were raped. Now, you might have been bigging yourself up because you had an older woman, but technically, you were raped.
That may have a different effect on men. That may have a different effect on young boys, you know, than it would a young woman. That may be a little bit more traumatic for a young woman than it would be a young man, unless it was a violent situation
where,
you know, the woman took it from him. Most of the time, the boy is excited to have an older woman even interested in his wee-wee. So,
right.
you know, a lot of times,
exactly.
you know, if it's a teenage boy, he's probably going to ride with it. Yeah, he's probably going to ride. If anything, it's going to boost his confidence and blow his head up. You know, so he may become a sex addict ego at that point more than, you know, somebody raped him and kind of rewired his thinking. You get what I'm saying? I don't think that was a traumatic thing. Yep. Yep.
He hollers at older women now. He gets used to that. The older women gave me some sex. Now all older women going to give you some sex. Like, it don't stop right here.
Yeah.
That's how you think it.
Yeah, so it might be a little different with a woman. But, yeah, like with a boy. Now, if he's molested.
Right.
Now, that may have a different effect on him mentally in terms of trauma and really changing how he sees the world. Like, for real. How he sees people. How he trusts people, you know, how he trusts, you know, whether it was a man or a woman who molested him, how he felt when he did it. A lot of times people who are molested go on to molest other people.
Yeah.
You know, so he's passing that trauma on.
Yeah.
And it cycle continues.
It's
the normalization of shit because it happened to a boy. That is so true. That's that double standard. Because it happened to a boy, it's quote-unquote okay because, you know, it's a boy, but it's a little bit different.
Hold on, because that ain't what we said. And that ain't what I said. What I said
no,
was
I'm saying
the caller
from
was,
what the message
no,
that came in.
That's what I'm talking to. The message that came in was, listen, I didn't say it was okay. What I said was, depending on what it was, it may affect a boy differently than a girl. Now, I'm not saying rape is rape. It's wrong, you know, but unless it was forcibly taken from the young man and he just wasn't with it at all, it probably would be an ego boost to him having an older woman sexually interested in him versus a woman who's like, well, why is this grown man sexually interested in me? It may be different.
But it seems
so that's
more
all I was saying.
Right. Men don't think like that.
Right. Men don't think like
don't
that.
Think
now, if it was molestation, then, yeah, that's going to leave a scar on a boy. You know, if it was a man who molested them or a woman who molested them, either way, if it was distrust that was broken, then he's going to probably have some effects from that growing up and being an adult, as opposed to a young boy playing with an older woman. And it just happens to be underage.
Because
they did say
13 years old. I'm going to assume that if the young man was like 7, 8 years old, that's something totally different.
Yeah. That's something totally
but
different.
But at 13 is probably
totally
an ego booster.
Yeah, it is. To most young men at 13, especially if you never had sex. If you never had sex, an older woman is saying, let's do it, and he's doing it. It's more to me just thinking like, okay, now
like he's struck gold.
It's easy. Right, he's
struck gold.
He's produced it for the little boy, but if it happens to the little girl immediately, it's interpreted differently.
Yeah, but it's not, I wasn't making an equivalent of it.
Situation.
Right.
Yeah. It's still
the
wrong.
The thing is, it does happen, and how it happens, you know, that double standard because a boy to a girl, either way, it's still wrong. So
Right. Now
that we know the mental health is in play, how do we exercise your mind to maintain that stability during the day, well, on a daily basis? Anybody
can answer? I just dove into work. But in terms of when I'm not at work, I do a lot of reading, prayer, try to do more fun activities. I think we need to enjoy life more. So I plan to go once a week. Because why? I like bowling. If nobody don't want to go, I go myself. Like, but I think I need to enjoy life more and more of a celebration of life compared to worrying about things I can't control.
Yeah.
Can't control the things you can control.
Right. Control things I can't control. That's in God's hands. But I'm going to enjoy life more. I'm going to travel more. I'm going to enjoy life more. I'm just not going to King's Plaza and getting the damn cookies. But other than that,
I'm good. I'm going to mock you for the ice cream.
But I'm good. You know, enjoy life more. Go more vacations. Go more vacations in the United States. This country has a lot to see and, you know, do within your country. But most, you know, we go to Caribbean, but not realizing America got a lot of nice things if you go to school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a lot of cities out here that, you know, just go have a good time and enjoy the city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always got to be international overseas. You know, you could do domestic. There's a lot of places here domestically that are really nice, you know? So just
hey, that's big.
Yeah.
That's big. That's big, dude. That's
probably
big. I mean, think about what it is.
Nah, wasn't an ego booster was scary because I didn't know what was happening.
Mm.
Now, we went from it possibly being an ego booster when you're young to now someone who's actually scared because it happened.
That's more molestation because they were forced to be in
that's
the place they were to be.
Exactly.
That's molestation.
Different.
Right. That's molestation. That's exactly what we just said. When trust is being broken,
right. That's
molestation. When you're in it and you know what's happening, that's an ego boost. So, yeah, these are two totally different things we're talking about here.
Right.
You know, now to the commenter.
You're just saying now.
We agree.
But for this particular person, it wasn't. I said for some, it may be an ego booster because, you know, when the boys are young playing, they have something to run back and tell their boys. But now, for someone else, it's totally different.
Well, right. But what we're talking about is an ego boost versus molestation.
Right.
Those are two totally different things. The big difference. What the commenter is talking about is molestation. That will definitely again.
That's the only way you can help.
And again, we're gonna reiterate that's definitely gonna probably have that's definitely probably going to have some type of psychological effect. That's going to leave an effect. You know what I'm saying? If it was something that you didn't want and you were violated like that, you know, that's, yeah, that's definitely going to have some effects on a person. So we don't want to diminish that at all.
I have a caller that wants to ask the gentleman a question, and I received a message, bring me in now. Okay, caller, I'm about to bring you in.
No, do not bring in that gangster. Keep the gangsters out of this chat.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, you might want to talk to
Mr. Carter. 3577, you are on. Yes.
I am not a gangster. Let me clear that up first and foremost. Okay. And so
okay,
I just wanted to say.
That's someone else who wants to come on as well.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. They want to be tagged in.
Okay, go ahead, caller.
Hello? Caller, did we lose you?
Hello?
3577.
3577. I'm still here.
That's you.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, ask your question.
That's me.
All right, talk to us.
Ask your question.
I didn't have a question. I just wanted to state that as an educator, I see I'm piggybacking off of what you guys are talking about when it comes to the mental health disorders. And I also wanted to say that when it comes to the abusive behaviors, as the gentleman was talking about with his mom being vulgar towards him in different aspects, and it is so true, it's because she didn't have healing herself. And so it was never a opening, I should say, for her to be able to heal, and she had to deal with it the best way that she could deal with it. And it continues to, you know, and for lack of a better terminology on it, it's our culture, or in cultures, we have always been taught to be silent about these things.
Keep it in the house.
It's always right. It's always been don't go outside to say it to someone else, and we've always been shushed or pushed away when it came to those things. Right. Family business. That's the best way that you can say it. And so
family business in the house.
Right. Her being having conceived you through the means that she conceived you, it wasn't even a topic of conversation. It was more or less, oh, you didn't listen, you didn't do what you were told, and it was more of a shame placed on her than the actual shame of the situation. But that is how our culture, because we had to be secretive through time about everything that went on in the house, because Masa might find out, or someone might go tell Masa what we talking about, type of thing.
Yeah.
And that just continues to cultivate in our and our cultures, and I'm not saying just the African American cultures. That goes in a lot of cultures, but I'm speaking because that is who we are today.
Mm-hmm.
Mama and I'm speaking from my own personal life. Mama and Daddy always took whatever needed to be discussed about the family to the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
It was never discussed amongst us as the children.
Yeah,
we didn't know anything about the problem.
That sounds a lot like what Wyatt was saying earlier about how it gets weaponized. You know, how men have things inside of them and have gone through things, have experiences that they don't really want to share with people, even mental situations like that.
As well. But
Thank you for that call.
We have another caller who want to get to the men. Thank you so much.
Thank you, production. Thank you, production.
Paula, spot me 5249. I'm bringing you on. Okay, you're on with the men in LSO. What's good? Talk to us.
Good evening. This is Sahi, better known as T. I wanted
good
to
evening.
Approach this as in I have a son and a daughter. And if my son at 13 years old was approached by a grown woman who wanted to give him some, that's predatory behavior. I don't care what you want to put it on as ego, because my daughter at 13, I would say the same thing.
We agree.
So I don't know how that is a difference between a boy, a young man, and a girl, because to me, either way, that's wrong, because the grown-ass woman should know what she's doing when she's approaching a 13-year-old
woman. Should know. I agree with that, but let me just say this. The reason why it's different, we're not saying it's different from an adult's point of view. We're talking about for child. If a child wants to sit up there and have sex with this older woman, he doesn't feel molested. The only child that feels molested
is my son to feel
molested.
Hold on, T. Hold on 1 second, T.
Go ahead, Andre.
One child may not feel molested because he wanted to do it. He feels it's a notch on his belt, and he's bragging to his friends and stuff like that. So he's not going to be affected the same exact way as somebody that was molested against their will.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I get that.
Yeah.
But the way I poured into my son.
That would be molestation.
LSL, the way I poured into my son is to value himself. He had women throwing himself at him in kindergarten with their daughters, telling him all kind of stuff, that he was cute, he was handsome, and what they could offer him. And I asked them then in kindergarten, what does your daughter have to offer my son other than pussy? So I raised my son to a fashion of pussy come dime a dozen, whether it's old, wrinkled, crazy, or what have you. Don't place value on that. So if someone comes at him in that direction, he's got something just as valuable as his sister.
That's true. That's
absolutely
true. I think what happened was, T, you kind of got confused that we were saying it's okay, you know what I'm saying, for boys to, you know, go through that situation versus a girl going through it. And we're not saying
okay.
that. We're completely agreeing with you. It's wrong on either side. An adult having sex with a child is wrong even if a child wants it.
Right. Exactly.
Period. That's wrong, period. But what we were talking about was relating to mental health and how mentally that could affect a kid who was molested against his will versus a kid who actually wanted to have sex with the teacher.
All right.
You see what I'm saying? A kid who wanted to have sex with the teacher is probably going to have an ego boost versus somebody who didn't want to have sex with the teacher and got it forced on them.
Well, also, T has to realize the key words of what she said is that how she raised her son.
How she raised her son. Right. That
raised
is, yeah.
him
that is, yeah.
to understand yeah. the value of equality in terms of men and women. But think about the 13-year-old sister East of York. I just find it real where I live. Think about some of them. Are they having the same conversations and situations with their mother? You know what I'm saying?
That's true, but you
raised
But Mr. Wyatt, you know me. So you know what my conversation has been.
I know that's what I'm saying to you, T. Everybody is not as grounded and as knowledge of self the way you do. It's not like that. That's why they say the world is what? 85% of like 85% of the population is dumb, deaf, and blind. It's still like that. Like it ain't changed.
And sometimes they don't get that information to learn of their worth until they get to school. And it's not the educator's responsibility to do that, but those who care for their students, they pour into them to let them know that they are worthy of X, Y, and Z and everything that comes with it. Because some people don't get it in their homes. You're just one of the few that actually do that, as well as the arts pour in. And the grandmothers and so on
excellent.
And so forth.
If we had more of that, it'd be different out here. But it's not that. It's like that. We know we situations. At least with my students, I know living. You know, I'm in a low income community in terms of teaching, and that comes with major issues in parenting. I love my parents. Most of them want to do well and be well, but I can tell you stories for decades on what some of these children go through that I never went through as a child. Like, yo, I'm good. Thank you, mommy, because some of these kids, you have a loving situation, a loving home, and you're teaching inequality and stuff to your young people. A lot of young people don't have mouths to tell to teach.
Let me speak
something. And think about it for a second. What if the 13-year-old is seeing his mother date younger men? How's that changing his mentality towards older women? His mom is dating younger dudes. If he sees that, that might not be a part of your household. But a lot of times with young people and what they go towards sexual content, it starts at their house. What are they seeing at home? Are they seeing mommy with two or one woman? Are they rotating? Is she rotating women? Is daddy rotating women? Is mommy rotating with different women? Like, if I'm seeing that, sex is cool. I'm good.
Comment on. We greatly appreciate it. Continue on to
God bless.
I have another message, and I want to ask one more question and get that in real quick. A message came in and says, I know young men who were molested and are now gay because of trauma of the abuse and feel they have sexual they have sexual feelings toward men because of the abuse, and some have said they feel like women wouldn't want them if they knew.
Think about the rise of the gay thug in rap music. At one point in time, you wouldn't imagine there being any talk about thugs being gay at all. But now,
you couldn't do that. It was taboo.
But now, it's actually a thing where thugs are actually doing whatever they do. Now, this is not about, you know, aiming at the LGBT community or anything like that, but just to talk about the trauma, just to talk about the mental health, just to talk about the things that men be going through or some men have gone through where these are affecting, you know, them mentally. And it's not just one off here, one off there. Like, this becomes a cultural kind of a thing, you know, and how much damage gets done that way.
Well, let me say this. Growing up in the hood, I sit up there and overheard so many different conversations about these women that's supposed to be parents. One woman had three kids sitting over there chilling, and she's talking to her girlfriend saying how, oh, I got to sit up there and get pregnant by another man so I can sit up there and get some more money from the government. And these are the things that the kids are listening to, you know, and it's crazy.
Your environment shapes you a lot, you know. It does.
And you can come from two children can come from the same home and go in two totally different directions for whatever reason. So you can't necessarily blame it on the parents and the upbringing, because the upbringing was the same in the house. It was all the positive things, the loving, the praying, the going to church, the nurturing, the having it all, and still they go in two separate directions. Now, I just want y'all to briefly answer this question, and we're going to move on because we have to begin to wrap up the show. I want y'all to briefly answer this question. How do you exercise your mind to maintain stability? No, not that. I'm sorry. We just asked that. How important is mental health? And I don't want to do that. I want y'all to leave a positive message in reference to the conversation tonight. I'm so sorry. I want y'all to leave a positive message before I begin closing out. So what positive message would you like to leave each and every one of us with this evening? In any order, just randomly go.
Okay. We'll let Dre go. Dre go first,
right? Come on, Dre. Bring it to me.
All right. Well, since I talk about my history is talking about relationships and stuff like that. So what I'm going to say is women should learn how to be a man's peace as opposed as P-E-A-C-E as opposed to another man's P-E-I-C-E.
Okay.
There's a big difference.
Okay. Come on now.
You know, just check out Instagram and you see all these
Come
women talking about, you know, they half naked talking about how they could be a man's peace. Really?
That's like a headache to me.
Exactly.
Okay, Mr. White.
Headache to me.
I would say just try to enjoy your life more, drink more water, just do the things that you enjoy, enjoy your family more, spend more time with your family. I think we get caught up into adulting and the work, but the real wealth in life is the love from your family and friends and enjoying that and enjoying life in general. A quote from Gladiator Russell Crowe said, "Every man dies, but not every man lives."
Every man lives.
And
Amen.
I was like,
yes.
That's deep. And that's the truth. You're all going to know. But how did you live, man? Did you enjoy your life, dude? Because I'm about to find something better. So I just leave that with that message, man. Just live. Enjoy your life. Bring more water.
And you die once, but you live every day. You take advantage of living, even if it's the small things, the little things. Take advantage of living and enjoying. D. Smith, what you got to say to me, baby? Come on now, bring it. Bring it on.
First of all, thanks to the men for participating and for being vulnerable, man. For talking about your personal life, for letting us in a little bit, for talking about your mental health, for talking about your experiences. And I think men need more of this. So I really want to thank you guys for rocking with us tonight and sharing your experiences with us. And I hope this encourages, you know, other people and particularly men to check on each other, man. Check on each other. Check on your people, man. And not just, you know, check on them, but talk to them. Ask them how they're doing mentally. You know, ask them how they're doing physically. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes people just want somebody to talk to. You know, sometimes that goes a long way. Sometimes just being courteous to each other goes a long way. So just reach out to each other. Try to give love wherever you can and be there for somebody else. It ain't always about you. That's for 2 cents.
And to piggyback off of D. Smith, thank you to each of the men panel for, one, being vulnerable, and, two, being very transparent. Like we say, like I say, when I open up, this is a no-judgment zone. And sometimes you may need to vent. And like D. Smith said, you may need a listening ear. And it's not always about talking to someone. It's about listening.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you listen, the person is able to pour out all of whatever it is. And sometimes listening doesn't require them talking. Listening requires what they didn't say, and both of you are occupying the same space at the same time. That's a whole conversation.
Yeah, yeah. Listening is about being aware.
In that moment. So,
it's about being aware.
So, like you said, be mindful of your family and friends. You never know what someone is going through. And just a simple hello or a smile, that goes a long way. And I'm one of the people.
Yep.
If I see you post something on Facebook and to me it don't sound right and I have your number, I'm picking the phone up and I'm calling you like, yo, what's going on? I don't need to interact with you on Facebook if I have your number. I need to know what's going on. What do you need me to do or what help is it that you need? And it's just not for men. It's also for women and also for kids. Read what's not being said because that's where you find your whole story. So we're going to say happy birthday to each and everyone who had birthdays this week. Yes, LSO is still celebrating her birthday, and tomorrow starts Virgo season. So y'all know what LSO is about to do. Next week, Monday, it's going to be all about LSO. I'm not exactly sure what we're doing,
But what we're doing is going to be fire. Happy birthday to Sheila, Creed, Auntie Nook Nook, Wanda Wally, Full Court, Tony Rose, Bodyguard Said, Leslie Howard. Also, happy anniversary to Liza and Dwayne. Earlier this year, we lost Dwayne. He was very young, 49 years old. And now Liza is now a widower. So, again, back to the mental health of someone and also checking in on someone. Reach out to people. Also, Sahi, she lost her husband as well. Again, you know, condolences to you. And she's also a young widower. So things happen in people's lives that people don't express. So every now and again, reaching out just to say hello, sending some love, that works, and it goes a long, long way. It goes longer than what, you know, we actually meant for it to be. And the same way I can hate someone for no reason, I can love them just the same for no reason. Also, condolences to everyone who may have lost someone, and congratulations to those who just graduated recently, who did summer school. Congratulations to each and every one of you. Thank you everyone who tuned in tonight to be here with the win, me with the men, and show them support. And thank you for the callers who called in, text, all of that good stuff. Greatly appreciate it. D. Smith, you have any shout-outs you need to do?
Once again, man, shout-out to Dre and Wyatt, man. I appreciate you guys so much, man. I can't say it enough. Thank you guys for tuning in. Appreciate you guys jumping down and giving your experiences. Shout-out to all the listeners.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Shout-out to all the listeners who tuned in, who called in. Who commented, who participated in the groups. We really appreciate it. You guys be on the lookout for us next week. We'll be here next week at the same time, same channel, LSO Tree Show. Y'all know what to look at. Check me out on Tuesdays on Shop Talk 7, ChicagoRadio.com, on the Shop Talk 7 show with me, my guy Monix, and my girl Miss Coco. And then check me out on IG, get_this_D. On IG, and I do my lives on every Thursday. And I did do one last week, but I got to make enough to do, so I'm probably going to do two this week. So, yeah, man, just check me out, man, and see y'all later.
Okay, Dre, you have something to say?
Well.
Come on, give it to me, baby. Give it to me, baby.
Yeah, let's go past the Dr. Dre.
Okay. I got to snap the neck and, you know, get ready for, like, I'm Mike Tyson out here. Well, I was just going to say thank you for everybody for having me on. I mean, I had a really, really good time. You know, y'all have any questions or whatever, we could follow up on the show. Anything that's bothering you, you need to talk about, you can hit me up at justaxdre@gmail.com. You can follow me on Facebook at Follow Andre AJ Carter. I mean, you know, I'm always here to talk if anybody needs somebody to talk to. That's it.
Okay, and what Dre didn't tell you, he's a published author of The Manual, which was also in a movie, and he also do book trailers or any type of flyer trailer that you're interested in as well. You can also reach out to him, and he's the man to go to. If you've seen some of my trailers, he was the one who actually did it. Mr. Wyatt, what's good? Talk to me.
Oh, I want to first thank you for inviting me on Chocolate. And second, I want to thank Dre and Brother Smith for, you know, sharing a platform with me. It was good hearing other opinions and voices. So I thank you, brothers, for that. And
Thank you, man.
You know, I have a network, TrojanNetwork88@gmail.com. We do cookouts every year. We just did one in August. We're going to do one next year. Our goal is to mainly, try to gather up funds and money through donations to help somebody, you know, better the situation when they go to college. So we're trying to give out scholarships through our network. So hit me up if you have any questions or just, you know, want to reach out or talk or whatever. Just hit me up on TrojanNetwork88@gmail.com.
Thank you for having me, and God bless. Thank you.
Thank you. And also to piggyback off of Wyatt, do you have the information? I would like each and every one of our listeners, even if you don't want the shirt, just purchase the shirt because it's my alma mater as well as Mr. Wyatt's alma mater. This is where he became my brother down at VSU. Do you have the information where you go on and purchase the VSU alumni shirt?
I'll send
and
it
even
to
if
you,
you don't want to purchase the shirt.
Yeah, I'll send it to you so you
even
can
if you don't want to purchase the shirt, you can actually, I'm sorry, even if you don't want to purchase the shirt, you can actually make a donation, and all the proceeds go to a scholarship for a student coming into VSU.
Yeah, no doubt.
So
we,
I'm asking that each of you do so.
Yeah, because we're not looking to make a profit. We take money from our own pockets to throw the annual event to gather funds for individuals because, as we know, college and starting off is difficult. College is very expensive. Books cost an arm and a leg. So any little bit that can help that person better the situation is what we're striving for. But thank you.
Yes, I'll be sure to put the information in the group as well as on my personal page. So I'm asking that each of you, if you don't want to purchase a shirt, please make a donation as well. In closing for this evening, before we do the closing, let's support one another, and you can order LSO merchandise at treatsandthingsLSO.com, and you can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at LSO Treats, and also TikTok. In order to get an autographed copy, you have to come directly to my website. And also follow D. Smith on Facebook at D. Smith, period, and on IG at GetThis_D. Let's show him support on Tuesdays and Thursdays as well. He has great conversations, and you can actually call in and talk and also come on live with him. So let's show him some support outside of just the LSO Treats show.
As always, get some D.
Vibing with the men. LSO had, you know, her three men on tonight. LSO, you better wait.
As you handed yourself well.
Enlighten and bring you every full conversations and full transparency. We hope you enjoyed the show on the health of a man, which strengthens the foundation. Piece of advice. Men, we need you. And not only do we need you, we need you to be healthy. So take control of your health through eating, exercising, and regular physicals, as well as take care, that was your physical health, but take care of your mental health through talking to someone, be a friend, a confidant, or a therapist. We need you. I don't care how much people or how many people say they don't need you or men, this, that, and third. We all need you, and we need each other. Listen to your body as it will tell you something is wrong. And don't put off today for tomorrow because all we have is today and our right now. Because we don't even know what's going to happen to our next 30 minutes or what have you. So don't take your health for granted. Don't take your mental health for granted. And if you need anyone, you can reach out to LSO. You can reach out to Dre. We're here. We're not just here on Mondays. We're here throughout every 7 days a week. So reach out to us. You know, I have a lot of different connects, and we can get you the help that you need. Every day is a gift to you, so don't take it for granted. Live happily in your moment and elevate yourself. You are worthy. You are great. You are strong. You are needed. You are loved. My hashtag is my LSO journey. Hashtag love yourself organically. Hashtag I am. D. Smith, what's your hashtag?
Hashtag get this _D. Hashtag live your life. Hashtag look out for another.
All right, Dre, what's your hashtag?
Hashtag Andre AJ Carter.
Wyatt, what's your hashtag?
Wow, okay, brother man from the third floor. When you say third floor, I spell it D-A floor, third floor.
So, you know. Bro man. Yours in sweetness, LSO. Have a good night, everybody.
Good night.
Peace. Good night.
Good night.